I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I gotta. Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Matches up from you.
No, so I expect you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling? Yeah. Mr. Samoa Joe?
Stop talking to me.
Hey, what's up, guys? Superman Onyx here. Russell Fit, one of the newest, baddest workouts out there right now. Now, yes, the word wrestling is in it, but you won't be wrestling. You won't be doing the headlocks or the slams or the spine busters that I do. Yeah. But what you will be doing is everything that we do to get ready to get in the ring, from kettlebell swings to slam balls to flipping tires to hitting tires to doing Olympic weightlifting movements. Guys, you don't want to miss out on this. Russell Fit is the way to go. Gives you a little bit of everything. Hope to see you soon.
All right, let's talk some Dynamite. Travis, did you watch Dynamite?
I didn't get a chance this time.
You suck. You absolutely suck.
It's okay.
No, it's fine. I love you. You have more talent than Eric Bischoff. Will Ospreay got a dub.
Bruv.
Who'd he get the dub over?
Katsuyori Shibata.
Shibata.
Katsuyori Shibata.
Sounds like a cheese, doesn't it?
I mean,
Shibata bread.
Shibata
bread. It sounds like a bread. Shibata bread. That's fair.
Shibata.
Bread.
The fact that the New Japan isn't marketing this is
maybe they don't have Shibata bread there.
Where?
Japan.
In Japan.
Oh.
Dude, I don't know. What maybe. Are the bread preferences of Japan?
I'm not sure. Maybe let's get Katsuyori Shibata on and ask him.
Okay.
We can call him up right now.
Where's the bread preference?
If you got his number, I'll drop a doozy of a toozy in my pants right now.
If
right
only.
Now, on command.
That'd be so cool.
It'd be like someone hit the brown
and
note.
And we would, man. Like, never, we'd have to use Google Translate to talk. It I don't would, know how good his English is.
It'd be like someone hit the brown
Japanese
note,
is not existent.
So, but your boy Will Ospreay got a dub, and he's way over with the crowd. Now, granted, that crowd was small, according to Eric Bischoff. And it was a smaller crowd.
Hey, you know what else? Canada is a giant country with a bunch of little and big cities and stuff. Yeah. Like, and this is why I hate him. We have to temper our expectations. They're going to be number two for a long time, if not forever. Wrestling events for Canadians, and I say this because I've heard Canadians talk about it when they've talked about fucking running around.
Okay.
And going around the territories in Canada, it's not close. It's a road trip for most people. Sorry. WWE's more popular. More people are going to take a road trip to see them than AEW. Am I that person? No. But I am not naive enough to think that there's more fans that are willing to drive to WWE shows than there are AEW shows. And that's okay. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal.
It doesn't sound okay. You sound very sad.
It's because I hate Eric Bischoff so much. He's such a piece of shit.
We're all pieces of shit.
No, but he takes it to a whole nother level.
All right, let me ask you a question. Who do you like more, Vince or Bischoff?
Oh, I mean Bischoff. That's easy.
Okay, just checking.
That's easy.
I'm seeing where the line was. That's all I'm saying.
that's a fucking wall.
I'm just checking.
There's no line between those two.
I'm just checking.
There's a wall. All
right. I think you like Bischoff more, but I think you respect Vince more.
Tomato, tomato. Potato, potato.
I don't. You have, we'll go some other time.
Now I'm just hungry.
I'm not feeling it. So what'd you think of Will Ospreay in this match? He's hotter than a pepper with the crowd.
Yeah. He's over, bruv.
He is.
He's over, bruv.
With the small audience, according to Aaron Bischoff.
Yeah, that because they weren't loud or nothing.
You have the floor.
Oh, I thought it was great. I mean, I wish that... Shibata was used more on AEW television, because I know he's a Ring of Honor guy. He's been doing a lot of Ring of Honor stuff. But, like, they didn't know who he was. Like, yeah, they showed us that little package. That was cool. But there was definitely, it almost felt like there was like a quarter of the crowd that was like, oh, yeah, I like this guy. And then everybody else was like, wait, who is that again? So that kind of sucks.
Here's an interesting picture making the Twitter rounds.
Oh, geez.
It takes a lot of money to wrap a semi-truck, sir. I ain't re-wrapping shit. That shit was wrapped months ago.
I'm just pointing out.
I'm just telling you. Don't get all excited trying to temper your expectations, because that shit's expensive and takes time.
I
don't want you to see the truck and be expecting a certain girl.
I'm already there. I want it. I need it.
I was just trying to help.
I hear you, but I'm so tired of you guys shitting on my dreams.
But look, this match was a banger.
I hear you, but I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
Just like we always get when Will Ospreay is all on our televisions, whether it's a match or a promo, Will Ospreay, bruv, produces nothing but bangers.
Bangers.
Bangers. And I will acknowledge that he can walk circles around Roman Reigns on the microphone.
Blasphemy.
That's true.
Travis, do you have a comeback for that? Because Ryan is not here.
That is absolute sacrilege and blasphemy, and you should be ashamed of yourselves. 20 years in the pit of misery. Bow at the knee of your tribal chief.
Do I still get to watch Will Ospreay in the pit of misery?
No.
That's not fair.
It's the pit of fucking misery. What do you think?
So,
not the pit of misery and, oh, here's a little entertainment.
So I'm stuck with Job Squad matches in the pit of misery?
Yes.
That's not cool.
Where you can
then the right to Job Squad versus the right to censor for all eternity? That's mean.
They'll mix it up on holidays with WWE speed matches.
Ooh, yay.
You hush your mouth. That would be glorious.
Pay me. All right. The Young Bucks defeated Private Party. This was a good match. I don't know where we're going with the Bucks now. I feel like there's a lack of direction.
I know where they're going. They're assholes.
Well, we knew that. I knew that 2 years ago.
Assholes.
I got that back in the Phil days.
They
were baby faces at that point.
They're assholes?
Yes. I meant what's the payoff.
What they're see. Well, the first initial payoff is them holding the championships alongside Okada. See, the problem is that they're doing the same thing the WWE is and just now starting to care about their tag teams, and I can't say who could wrestle them and meet them after they take the championships.
I just wish you would have said, Logan, you're right, there does seem to be a lack of direction there.
I don't think it's the lack of the direction on the Young Bucks.
My goodness, you would absolutely argue with me if my name was Jesus.
They have a direction. They're assholes. Their direction is the AEW Tag Team Championships. That's the direction they are going in right now. Where they turn and go after that, I don't know, because they haven't built the tag team division.
Respectfully, isn't the direction of every single heel is he's an asshole?
That's not all I said. They said the AEW Tag Team Championships.
All right.
Yes, they're assholes, but yes, also the AEW Tag Team Championships.
All right.
But like I said, because of booking and the lack of attention paid to the tag team division AEW right now, I don't know who wrestles them next.
Any thoughts on this match? Not at all?
That was pretty cool. I mean, it was a young spot off the... On the barricade, that Falcon Arrow, it was a different type of Young Bucks Private Party match, but it was still reminiscent. Like, I think there was more storytelling in this one, obviously, for just having the last match 5 years ago is going to necessitate, I said it right this time. And I liked the callback to the match 5 years ago. It's a pretty good piece of business. I mean, look at the finish. The finish was kind of wonky. I do not try to do that to some, the back of someone's head ever again, because I think that's why Matthew fell.
Yeah, that BT didn't work.
Yeah, the EVP. The EVP trigger now. Don't get fined.
Pardon me. Well, hey, if you're looking for money from me, so am I. If you're looking for money from me, so am I.
You know what? Matt and Nick, go ahead. Find me, because that means you have to hire me first.
Willa Nightingale defeated Sky Blue. Julia Hart and Chris Statlander during a TBS title shot at AEW Dynasty coming up on the 21st. Mercedes Moné was on commentary for this Mamma Jamma. Let's go there. She hasn't wrestled yet. Are you all right with that? Do you like what we're doing with her start? In AEW, thoughts?
I don't mind that she hasn't had a match just yet. Okay. It's only been 3 weeks. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
What I do mind?
Yes.
Is being given one of these for what? That match was 15, 20 minutes, right?
A good little bit, yeah.
What did she say? And remember, Bucko Brigade, I'm a Moné fan. What did she say? What did her being on commentary accomplish? Nothing. I'm sitting here watching this match, and I'm distracted because Mercedes Moné is not she's not making quips. She's not commentating. She said, yeah, that was pretty good. Like, if you're going to say you're coming out here to evaluate and help the women's division, then commentate on it. Then fucking say tips right there on commentary. Do something with the time that you are given. It just felt so unnecessary. There was no reason for her to be out there. And sure, did it help get, you know, more eyes on the match itself? Probably, because a lot of people go to the fridge or whatever during women's matches still for whatever fucking reason. So I see a point in it, but it fell flat because she did nothing. She didn't commentate. You know why they got away with this with CM Punk? Because when you sit him on the desk, you can't shut him up. Good, bad, or indifferent, at least he's adding to the segment. She added nothing. That match was fantastic. Those women fucking balled out last night. The growth in Anna Jay is utterly fantastic. She looked like a totally different wrestler last night than when she started. Willow Nightingale's starting to really, really get over. I think it's going to be Mercedes, Willow, and... why can't I remember the manager's name? Stokey Hathaway. Yep. I think they're going to kick Chris Statlander out. Because Mercedes is a better fucking heel than she is a face anyway.
Fair.
But yeah, the match was great. I liked the Julia Hart coming out, getting a little bit of involved at the end. Sky Blue, as always, stood out. I mean, all the women stood out. That match was fantastic. But you wanted me to lead with Mercedes Moné, and even as a fan, that's how I felt about her at commentary. It was a waste of fucking time because she didn't do anything with the time she was given with a microphone strapped to her fucking head.
Big Stevie C commented on our Snapman Productions page and said, you want to play 21, which is, of course, a reference to Jake Roberts. You want to play a 21? Well, I got 22. Said, you want to play Jack Black? Got two of those, too. Of course, that's that infamous promo 99 where he is absolutely three sheets to the wind during that Heroes of Wrestling pay-per-view.
Yeah, that's fair.
He's gone. Mr. Napper, what are your thoughts on Mercedes Moné's beginnings here in AEW? 3 weeks in, she hasn't had a match. I know you didn't watch AEW last night, but McCarthy summed it up well. Are you all right with the fact that she hadn't been in the ring yet and we really haven't sold her and she just kind of been popping in?
I didn't watch the match, but I did actually see the comments about this particular instance.
Yep.
So that I did actually get to see. And no, I'm not particularly okay with the idea that she has not wrestled yet. I get it if the idea is to make her look like a big deal. But for a women's division that is more or less struggling to gain attention, the better thing to do would be to do the thing that she is best at and throw her out there and wrestle. She's not the worst promo in the world, but I don't think she's the best either. So why are we sticking her in promo and talking segments when the thing that everyone compliments her for is her wrestling? Let her wrestle. Otherwise, you are doing a disservice to not only her, but to that entire women's division, because as you talked about, she didn't say anything of relevance. Nothing. So what was the point?
She reacted like she was a fan. Like, put her in the crowd for that. Sorry, Travis.
No, you're...
They did that at Wembley.
Like, I just don't... First of all, she's a heel. She's more comfortable as a heel. She should have turned on the crowd in Boston and said, fuck it. Yeah, hindsight is 20/20, but I'm not wrong that she's better as a heel. Chris is better as a heel. Ric Flair is better as a heel. There's just some guys that are really good at being heels and aren't that great at being babyfaces.
And we darn sure hope he'll be a heel again real soon.
Triple H is an example. He's a better heel than a face.
He pulls that off in real life.
Wow. Wow. But yeah. How about you, buddy? What do you think of Mercedes Moné so far? Blah, blah, blah. Like, she, like, and to piggyback off of Travis, even though I asked you, she better wrestle by Collision. Like, Dynasty's too far away. She has, like, two more shows to wrestle. Like, this Collision and Dynamite, if she's not on the following Collision, there's a problem.
I think it's time to get her in the ring. You're there to wrestle. You're there to help the women's division. You're there to give it some legitimacy. Frankly, if you need a feud to get you to Dynasty, there is a woman that is in the Witness Protection Program in AEW that could come out and make a splash by just being, you know, even if she loses, it would be great to see her again because she's in the Witness Protection Program. Her name, well, you know it well, she's actually a doctor.
D-M-D, a fine example of how to do the three initial thing properly.
And so... Tony is huge on dream matches, right? Tony is big on kind of fantasy booking. Well, I understand that we are.
But I don't want to see that yet.
Hold on, we're barreling towards Dynasty. I want to see you Britt back on TV, and Sasha needs something to do because anything else, because you got her in, you have her in 45 different pots. So anything else feels like you're building towards the pay per view. And so why not a quick dream match, main event, a Dynamite or a Collision here in a few weeks? And you can do that, it once, and then you can do it again
you
in
can,
a year.
I think you can set the stage for it, and you can start building now for, like, almost All In. But I don't want to see them wrestle too soon. It would kind of, I think it would give us the Ospreay and Shibata kind of a thing. Like, this match is fucking great, but if I just knew a little bit more. Or if they gave, because as good as that match was, there were no stakes. It's not like Swerve and Takeshita, where number one contendership was on the line and you get a banger. So, you know, not having stakes, even though they made an effort to tell a story and to tell us about their match 7 years ago and they told us their history in that package, good shit. But if we could have got maybe another week, maybe the fans in attendance would have been more into it. Maybe, maybe not. I don't want to see, because... As much as I love AEW, sometimes they do rush through some of these dream matches. I don't want to see Mercedes and Dr. Britt Baker get rushed through. That needs 6 months, at least.
Well,
I just think those two could create magic together. You know, the dual DMD CEO chance will be fun. Like, I don't want them to rush.
I hear you. I'm not disagreeing with you, really.
I actually thought throw her in with Red Velvet just to give her something to do, because Red Velvet needs to be back on TV. She's improved immensely. Like I said, last week, I think Red Velvet kind of bases her wrestling on Mercedes Moné. I think it'd be a little good little tune-up match for her.
Red Velvet has been heavily on Ring of Honor television the last several weeks. She just lost the semifinals of the tournament for the new Ring of Honor Women's Championship to Queen Amidala.
Oh, she's fantastic. You know, my first gig on the production side, I got to see her wrestle. She's fantastic, yeah, she's dude.
Incredible. Mm-hmm. Columbus product.
Yeah.
Trained by James Avery.
Yeah.
So
Ace Austin was at that show too. That shit was cool.
That was fun. And so.
Oh, this is before you guys. This is before I went to the school.
Yeah. No. Well, because I saw her work at the Arnold. So that's what I thought you were talking about.
Mm-mm. No, I was talking about. I forget what thing it was. The school told me to go try to get some internships before it even stepped in the door. So they were like, here, contact this guy. He does pro wrestling and DJ and stuff. And I went out and did that. That was cool.
Okay. All right. I'd put her in the ring by now. Orange Cassidy and Trent Beretta with Chuck Taylor defeated the Undisputed Kingdom. I don't know why you'd have them lose this match.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised myself.
You're trying to establish this faction. And look, the best friends are kind of like in sync with Justin Timberlake. We know who the real star is. That's Orange Cassidy.
Yeah. Being all serious and shit is weird.
So I just thought the wrong guys won here. Any thoughts on this match before we get to Jericho and Hook?
I was... It gets me more Orange Cassidy matches, so I'm all right with it. But yeah, I feel like if you're trying to put over the Undisputed Kingdom as a, you know, as a force,
legitimate,
you should probably have kept them in this tournament a little bit longer. With hindsight being 2020, this is almost DOA as far as the United Kingdom, Undisputed Kingdom. See, I still can't get that. I don't even live in England and I call them United Kingdom. Isn't that some shit?
It is, in fact, some poo. All right, Chris Jericho and Hook appeared to agree to a mentorship of some sort. Let's say the maybe Chris Jericho is going to be the Sting to Hook's Darby Allin. What did you think of this segment? You are the Jericho-holic. You are the Ayatollah of, I don't know what you are, but nonetheless, you're the biggest
rock and roller. That's what he used to say.
Yeah, I know. I meant you. You are not the Ayatollah of rock and roller.
Why?
I don't want to disrespect Chris Jericho like that.
I mean, that's fair.
What do you think of this? And because they didn't like make anything official, they did a little fist pump there, and or you know, a little bump, and then fist bump, not a cocaine. And so, what'd you think of this? And what's this leading to? I know you've been adamant about Jericho needs a break, but
he needs it. But he's not going to take one. He makes seven figures. I get it.
Okay.
I get it. He's like one of the first people Tony signed. I get it. Yep. I can give my opinion, but I have to accept the fact that Chris just isn't going to do that. So, what I do is I straight up do the same storyline I've been doing with Chris Jericho, except this time Hook already sees through his bullshit. You get Taz a little bit involved on camera, like, you know, you gotta watch out for him, son. He's dangerous.
He's a no good.
Carny kind of a dude. You can't trust him. Can't trust him at all. I appreciate it, Dad. I got this. And Hook can be an intelligent baby face for once and beat the shit out of Chris Jericho before he even has a chance to turn his back on him. Doing something that no one had. Yes, people have beaten up Chris Jericho plenty of times, but in the annals of AEW, he always turns on people first.
Because what struck me about this is, number one, why. Number two,
yeah,
Hook already has a pretty legendary father that could be his mentor if they wanted to go that route.
They don't want to. I don't think Taz wants to.
I hear that, but that to me means we eliminate all other mentors because the obvious one stares at you in the face. Fair?
That's totally fair.
And so I get they don't want to, but if you're ever going to go a mentor route, it would have to be Taz, because why would you pick Chris Jericho over your own suplex submission machine daddy?
This has a chance to revitalize Chris. Because...
Does it?
There's a... Hook's kind of special.
I like Hook.
And I mean, not in the eye of the fans right away. I think in his mind. Didn't that promo seem weird? Like, when you sit back and think about Chris's promo last night.
There were a lot of
pauses.
Yeah.
Like, not for effect oh, fuck, what do I have to say? You know what that, what am I supposed to say? You know what that tells me? This is Chris Jericho, right? One of the best promo guys in the business. He's not chewing on this. He hasn't bit in. He's not into it.
Well, why is he doing it? You're Chris Jericho.
That's why I said he should go on a short vacation, but maybe this,
neither here nor there.
Maybe this can be the thing to wake his brain back up. Because, I mean, think about it. He's been doing this for 5 years with his band, with his cruises that he books and he takes care of. Like, his creative juices have to be near E. That's why I say a vacation, not just to go away, like, for us to forget about him for a second, but that man needs time to recharge too. Like, his mental health cannot be 100% right now. I'm not saying he's trying to, like, go all nuts or nothing, but, like, he's doing a lot. He needs time to recharge, and yep. And maybe this is how he does it. He mentors Hook a little bit, couple of fun tag matches, and then Hook gives him that feeling again. Like, yeah, I got this. We can go here and here and here and here and here, because he's the king of reinvention. But what has caused that reinvention? Chris Jericho going away, because that's why I think he needs to go on vacation. I just know he won't.
No, I understand where you're coming from on that. The reason that I. If you ever notice, if you watch this show, folks, usually about the first to second week of December, we take about 4 to 6 weeks off just for that purpose. Lack of burnout, and just give yourself a break. Let's get away from this for a second, and we'll see first, second, maybe third week of January at the latest. That's why we do it. So, no, I totally understand where you're coming from in terms of maybe this. He needs to take some time to get the juices flowing again. I'm interested to see where this goes. I like Hook. I think Hook's got something special. I wish Taz would agree to be involved a little bit more. I understand you don't want to overshadow your kid, but I think it's different in the sense of a Ric Flair overshadowing Charlotte or something like that, because Flair is the ultimate guilty of hanging on far too long. With Taz, due to injury, we don't have that. Like, we can come up with a good ending for your character. Flair's had about 10 different endings that he's just like, nope, that ain't it. So I would like to just see, kind of a bookend past the torch angle, of not in a wrestling sense, of course, but you know what I mean? Find a way.
Maybe we...
But I don't know I don't think it ever happens.
Maybe we get, at some point, and hopefully this doesn't take 6 months, because it shouldn't take 6 months to tell this particular story. Maybe Chris is like, you know, that championship isn't doing anything for you.
Well, it isn't.
It's not, but Hook, it's important to him. His dad made it. It's important to him. And then, like, at the same time where Taz has said, watch your back, keep your eyes open, blah, 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 he can come and he can be like, this is the one time that I agree with Chris. Because Hook needs... Could you imagine Hook and Okada for the Continental Championship at fucking Wembley?
It would be pretty good. It would be wonderful.
Whether Hook wins or not, it would put him on the map again, and that's what I'm looking for now. Like, set these dream matches 6 months down the road. It's okay. We don't have to run through them. You have Bryan Danielson for that this year. I'm sure there's going to be somebody next year you can use for that. There's times and places for dream matches for people, but they can't all be. Build Hook up. Imagine him holding the title, the Continental Championship, and he beats Okada for it. That'd be huge for him. And I think he's earned an opportunity like that.
All right. Any thoughts on Swerve Strickland defeating Kosuke and then...
Konosuke Takeshita?
I had a brain cramp.
True. No, you're good.
I wasn't even trying to pronounce it.
Dude.
Had a brain cramp there for us.
This was a
banger. It was a wonderful match. The match is wonderful. Here's my issue with where we're at. Joe can't afford a loss, neither can Swerve. You got to go Dusty finish here. You got to go Dusty.
Maybe. We'll see.
You got to find a way to get something else out of this, because honest to God, Swerve should win it at earliest Double or Nothing, because it's a bigger show.
He should probably win it on Dynasty so they can build to him and Will Ospreay it all in. If I was Tony, I'm building Wembley right fucking now. You gotta think about that stuff.
I'm sure he is thinking on it. I would hope. and you know, in between the 4 a.m.
But tweet. Like this match was a banger, dude, and the selling of Swerve Strickland. When was the last time you saw somebody get their arm area, like neck and arm area, worked on and go for like a punch and be like, oh, no, I can't. I can't even do it. Like, no, I can't. No, I can't even swing. Like, he was cooking last night.
That's Ricky Morton-esque.
Swerve was on it. And fuck, Don Callis was on it, as most of the times that he is on commentary, he brought something to the commentary table. You know, take notes.
He did.
He brought a lot to the commentary table, as he always does.
It does help that he was a commentator for a long time. Does help. He was a New Japan.
Part of your job is cutting promos for a living. If you can't figure out what to say behind the commentator desk, don't sit there.
I'm just saying.
And I agree with you, but still.
Because he was a cover guy in ECW for about a year, mm-hmm. and then did New Japan.
No, I mean, I get it. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, in all seriousness, half of your job is talking. If not 75% of your job is talking to try to get people in a building, you can't think of something to say, Mercedes. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Let's talk some SmackDown before we get out of here. A face-to-face between WWE Universal Champion Roman Reigns and his WrestleMania number one contender Cody Rhodes turned into a six-person standoff involving Rhodes, Reigns, World Heavyweight Champion Rollins, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, and Solo Sikoa. What'd you think of this big standoff, Travis?
I thought it was a little awkward. I don't know who messed up the timing of this, but it could have been a little better. I thought it was good. I like the way that they kind of went about introducing both sides. I love the snap of the fingers. That was really cool. Kind of wish Cody had some sort of retort other than just kind of smiling and laughing at Roman. But
maybe he makes a rhythm too, like a prom night dumpster baby.
Yeah. does a snap himself or something like that. But I think that was the biggest thing for me, was the timing of this was very, very awkward, because like the music was a little bit off. And then the camera shots to the people in the crowd was a little off, I feel. It kind of killed a little bit of it for me. But I like the way they went about it. The setup, too, was a little weird. Because, like, Roman just leaves the ring. It's, I don't know. The whole structure of it was a little off to me. But I thought it was kind of cool at the end.
My man Freddie Bannister's got a question. Do you think Bobby Lashley will end up in AEW one day, or AJ Styles? So who's more likely to end up in AEW? Bobby Lashley someday or AJ Styles? What's your take, Travis?
Bobby.
Really? I say AJ.
I don't.
If either one was going to go, I'd say AJ, because they don't know how to use big people yet. I don't see Bobby going anywhere. Not until they figure that shit out. I wouldn't
that
go.
Hasn't stopped big people from still going.
Yeah, but Bobby Lashley kind of has a lot bigger name value than some of those guys. Like he has an in for WWE probably for life, where a lot of these other big guys don't. So like,
I feel like AJ does too, though.
Yeah, but he'd be used there. That's kind of where I'm putting it.
I'd like to see AJ in AEW more than Bobby Lashley, because I just don't. I feel like they're running out of things to do with AJ and WWE.
Well, that and like, yeah. I mean, so Tony Khan is like he who can't be named right now with small people, with big people. Tony doesn't know how to use big people.
Are you talking about a certain pal?
Yeah, a certain pal that didn't really know how to use the smaller generation of wrestler. Well, he didn't, and Tony is very similar.
Old shoe leather
with, hair himself. With, yeah, that guy. Okay. With the big guys not being able to book them properly. So, I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I don't see either one of them going. They both got either a really good gig, but since the question was asked, I think it would make more sense for AJ than Bobby. And Logan makes a good
more
point.
Sense, I'll say AJ, but if we're going off likelihood, I'm still sticking with Bobby. And the only reason I say that is because I don't feel like AJ is going to be around much longer.
I mean, that's fair. And it's not like they're using Bobby in a whole lot. They didn't even name him the fucking
the Pride.
Yes. Pride. Is that their name?
That's what it's supposed to be.
Cause Street Business was taken? It's cause I came up with it, isn't it? Yep. Motherfuckers.
Yeah, everybody thinks Triple H is a better booker. That's funny.
I'm better at naming things, apparently.
Freddie Bannister says, I think you see the Hardys come back at Mania and the Dudley Boys. I don't think you see the Hardys come back at Mania.
I don't either.
I think that, if I'm not mistaken, I could be.
Jeff's buddy. Still under contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Tony added a lot of contract time for his various injuries and then the DUI situation.
Supposedly, Matt's trying to convince him to let him out of that. That's the rumor.
Tony doesn't let anybody out of their contract. He makes you wait.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, I mean, when he did it with William Regal... Didn't Regal just show up back on NXT television 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Like, that was very key when he let him go. He was like, you got to wait to go on TV. So
I do think you could see the Dudley Boys at Mania. I would think so. Philadelphia, obviously, they made their name at ECW. That's where they became household names.
You're probably going to at least see them at the Hall.
And you know, if people would just listen to Jason and pick up the fucking phone... Could totally borrow some people. It's fine.
It's not happening.
I know. I'm just saying if they would listen to me, it would be fine.
Well,
we would be able to do things like this.
We're in the midst of a war. All right. Did you watch SmackDown?
Yeah.
All right. What'd you think of this face-off?
I like the face-off. I like the barbs they threw at each other. I like that Cody didn't look like a complete fucking moron because, you know, If you didn't bring anybody, I didn't either. So that really, I told you right there, they're waiting for your guys to come out here. I thought it was a good piece of business. Number two, it's the best number two of all time.
I was
dying. Roman, man, he was killing it on Friday. I liked it. It was fun. It might have gone a little long. It felt a little, I do think like everybody coming out was mistimed. It just seemed like that took a really long time. I didn't really like the shark circling the ring. That didn't make sense to me.
It felt like at the start we were doing the old It's a Trap off Star Wars. Like we're all just looking at each other for a half a second.
Right?
And it's like, why aren't we doing this? We all see each other here. come on with you. Come on. Ain't nothing between us, but there's an opportunity.
I feel like they should have switched it. Like, because if I remember correctly... Solo and Jimmy came from the back towards the announce tables.
Yeah.
And Jay and Seth came from the other side. I'd have flipped that because that way you could have Jimmy and Solo do the thing where like they surround the ring, but coming towards him and not coming from him, like past him. Because that just seemed weird. Like Logan said, the circling of the shark seems kind of weird. But do that and then have Seth and Jay come from behind and then they go on that rope facing the table and now you have a real standoff.
Yeah, I mean, like, because to piggyback off your point, that gives them a reason to go back towards Roman.
Right.
Because
they were circling the ring... And then they go back towards Roman for no reason, and then they come out, and there's shock and bewilderment on the Bloodline's face. Instead of keeping them right there at the sides, like you were saying, and have Seth and Jay, like you said, come up through right behind the announce desk, that would have been a perfect reason to regroup. Oh, we got to regroup now. Yeah. Instead of, oh, I was just fucking with you. Like, that's... Roman's played some good mind games. If that was his mind game on Friday, it's not really a good one.
Overall,
I'm aware that these people are going to help you.
Overall, since Kevin Dunn's departure, WWE's production has not really changed a whole lot or gone downhill. But there are certain moments where I can see his absence felt and missed, and this was one of them.
But I also see moments where it's helped and improved by taking chances on certain camera movements and angles they're taking. Like, it's a give and take.
Right, but there's certain things that you know Kevin Dunn would have honed in on and made sure to lead as the production leader, and this was one of those cases. You're right, I've seen things that I like better, and I've seen things that end up a little worse because he's obviously not running the show as far as production goes anymore, and this was one of the times where I thought, yeah, Kevin would have nailed this. He would have got it and went, all right, here's what you do, because, you know, he can do it in his sleep, right?
I mean, that's fair.
because he's done it so long. The other interesting angle from SmackDown, LA Knight incited a brawl at AJ Styles' home and got arrested. Looked like an episode of Cops. They had the little, you know, little dash cam there.
Dude, this was great. Yeah. Like, this was the most realistic that they could make it. I applaud the production, the Atlanta, you know, off-duty police officers and the Atlanta PD for graciously loaning vehicles for an undisclosed price so they could make this as realistic as possible.
How much are you going to take?
Because this was a good piece of business. It wasn't perfect by far, but it's pretty close. Like, there's a few things that you wouldn't be able to do in that situation, but, like, because, like, it would have been, like, AJ charges at LA Knight and he's handcuffed. Oh, you're going in the other car. I don't care if this is your fucking house. Like, it's just little things that they were able to work around because they had...
You're in this my house!
What, they had what seemed to be real professionals, and, I mean, unless you're paying to shut down a street... You can't really just run up with police cars, fake or not. So I'm assuming they took the cheaper route and said, do you just want to do this and shut down the street for us?
Thanks.
Bet.
Travis, what did you think of this angle? I thought LA Knight looked very Stone Cold Steve Austin-ish. What'd you think of this episode of Cops on WWE SmackDown?
I was kind of getting Hunter Orton 2009 vibes from it.
Coming in the house.
Uh-huh.
Hey,
he's coming in the house.
It was pretty cool. I like the way they did it. Camera angles, everything like that was pretty spot on, like Jason said. This is what that feud kind of needed to kind of incite people to go, man, they're really getting personal. And I think it added some depth to it other than just two guys who don't like each other. Like, you added a personal level to it, which is really nice. So I enjoyed it. Can't wait to see what the comeuppance is from this, hopefully this week on SmackDown, and see what they add to it to build towards Mania. I know this. I don't feel like they can have a regular match at this point, so I feel like this is going to add something to it.
Well, street fight.
That'd be fun.
Street fight action would be all right. All right, and lastly on SmackDown before we get out of here, I feel like we got to touch on this. Santos Escobar defeated Rey Mysterio with the help of Dirty Dom. Are we getting Mysterio versus Mysterio 3?
No, I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either. I thought that was Rey for a second. I'm being facetious. He's too tall to be Rey.
No, but he, like, when he puts the mask on, he looks damn near like him, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, that happens. It would have been great if he'd have just...
Well, then why are we doing the angle? If we're not building to something, why are we doing the angle?
That's a good question.
Because he just wanted to fuck with his dad again.
Yeah, but in kayfabe, there's...
There's probably going to be an assault on the Easter egg hunt at the Mysterio household.
So we are building towards
Dom's
Mysterio
a jerk. Probably, but not WrestleMania, I don't think.
All right, so Saudi.
Sure.
Is it going back to Saudi?
I talked myself into them wrestling again. Yes. Yeah. It's probably because my brain started working. I'm like, yeah, he could fuck up the Easter egg hunt. Man, I bet they have. I wonder what kind of cool stuff Rey has for Easter. Because, I mean, them Hispanics know how to party, dude.
All right.
I bet they got pinatas and shit. Like, all the cool, fun shit that us white ass people wouldn't have at our parties, they have.
Well,
okay.
We have fucking hidden eggs and fucking ham.
First of all, don't assume my party's at Easter, all right? I might get down. Who knows? Secondly, Travis.
Yeah.
So we're building towards Mysterio 3 at some point.
Probably.
Where, why, and how would you do it?
I would have it at SummerSlam again, or have it at SummerSlam for this one. Just because I think you do need another one.
Yubi.
Wouldn't this be number 2, though?
No, I thought they faced like twice on a pay-per-view.
They wrestled at WrestleMania, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then they did one on like Raw for a second.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
If Ray wins, Dom must leave the Judgment Day. If Dom wins, Ray must retire. SummerSlam in Cleveland, fucking book it.
I like that. I do like that.
They're not going to have Ray ever retire because they can't.
I didn't say that Ray would lose. I'm just saying throw in the stipulation.
All right.
I don't want Ray to go anywhere.
Because they can't find another Hispanic
Please
star.
Stay here.
And so.
On our TV. It's all okay. Right.
Gentlemen, any final thoughts on this week in wrestling before we wrap up this thing?
Watch wrestling!
Travis!
Watch wrestling! And also, is it Mania season yet? Because I really want it to be.
Yeah, it's Mania season. We're going to get down next week with some WrestleMania. It's going to be fun.
Let's break it down for all of you at home before we go here. Next week is Prediction Palooza 2024 here on To the Turnbuckle. We are going to predict and talk about WrestleMania Night 1, WrestleMania Night 2. We're also going to talk about Ring of Honor's pay-per-view that's going to be on WrestleMania weekend. We are going to update you on every show that you can watch this weekend if you are so inclined. That doesn't mean we'll predict every show, but I'm going to gather a list of everybody that's doing something that you could technically probably buy on Fight, and I'm going to let you know the smorgasbord of content that you could watch on wrestling. We'll also predict Stand and Deliver. That's going to be predicted. I don't know if we're going to cover it by the time we come back, but we'll predict Stand and Deliver. There is so much professional wrestling. And then it doesn't stop. Here's the beautiful thing about professional wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. WrestleMania, the Super Bowl happens, the season's over 6 months. World Series, same thing. Same thing. The NBA Championship in June, they're done until November. We keep right on going. Because then you come around the lane and you've got Windy City Riot for New Japan. You've got Dynasty for AEW. You've got Saudi Arabia for the WWE. You got Backlash for WWE. This train does not stop. TNA also doing their thing. This train doesn't stop. So next week we are going to predict not one, not two, but three different pay-per-views. And we are going to touch on probably more wrestling companies than we ever have. You're not going to want to miss next week as we are officially on the final destinations of WrestleMania. And my final question to you is this, Bucket Brigade. Are we closing in on the final week of Roman Reigns' legendary championship reign? Is it finally almost over? Have we finally come through? We'll see. We'll predict it all next week. And until then, we'll see you in the ring.
Ding ding, ding ding! I think we almost got it. I'm losing track of the knobs here. Sorry. Because I gotta. Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Who matches up in front of you?
No, I expect you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough. Oh, the new world champion?
I need a second.
The new champion for All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah.
Mr. Samoa Joe?
Stop talking to me a second.